for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Some of you have heard me tell this story about my daughter Annabelle before. But when she was about 8 years old, she shared with me that she'd had a dream about Jesus. I asked her to tell me about it, and she said, "I saw him in a pool." I said, "What did he look like?" And she said, "He was smiling. He looked nice." This looking nice is much more about feeling than it is about anything concrete. Several weeks later, as we chatted in the car one afternoon, Annabelle suddenly said, "I just wish we knew what Jesus looked like." And I reminded her of the dream she'd had, and she said, "Oh, I know, but I wish we really knew." I think of this so often, as it is a vivid reminder that life is full of moments of mystery, dreams, hints, whispers of intangibility, of something more than we see immediately before us. But we're pulled away from it, pulled toward that longing to really know. That desire to know in clear, measurable terms that we're on the right track, that we're doing the right thing. That desire to really know is strong. It runs deep in our humanity, and it pulls us toward formulas. It pulls us toward transactional living. A tangible this means a definite, predictable that. There is that pull toward concrete and tangible, toward transactional living in our gospel passage this morning. Nicodemus, in his bewilderment, is fixated on the tangible. He's looking for a formula to be born anew. The famous verse, "For God so loved the world," has far too often been read transactionally as a formula for identifying believers and non-believers, for determining who's in and who's out. And there's more to grapple with than the gospel today. We've also, on this Trinity Sunday, got doctrine to dissect. There's a similar pull here. The mystery of the Trinity bends our minds, and we long for a metaphor that will capture the essence and meaning of the Trinity once and for all. In his book, The Fourth Gospel, Tales of a Jewish Mystic, John Shelby Spong asserts that the writer of John's Gospel was a mystic, writing with an understanding, with a perspective that Jesus represented a new dimension of humanity, a new insight, a new consciousness, a new way of relating to the holy. John's gospel is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The language and imagery is deeply poetic. It lacks much of the detail that the other Gospels offer us, but it is full of mystery and the mystical. The church, certainly the Western church, has not left a lot of room for mystery. Our society doesn't leave a lot of room for it either. There is a constant tug a pull away from mystery toward the tangible and the concrete. What if the doctrine of the Trinity and the story of Nicodemus and indeed Annabelle's dream, what if they're a reminder to make more room for mystery in our lives? If we make our gospel story of Nicodemus into a formula to be born anew or saved, or about organizing the world into categories of believers and non-believers, saved and condemned, we change it, we distort it, we miss the mystery. We change it from gospel, the good news of God's love, into the anti-gospel, a message of exclusion and condemnation. This passage, and indeed the whole of John's gospel, is an invitation into a mystical perspective. It's about a way of seeing and being in the world that isn't about formulas. It's about a level of consciousness. It's about transformation instead of transaction. Cynthia Bourgeau, Episcopal priest, writer, teacher, modern day mystic, she makes the case that Jesus isn't just the savior of the world, here to die and be raised to new life for us, as we've primarily come to emphasize in Western Christianity. Jesus is also a wisdom teacher, one sent to dwell among us to perk our consciousness so that we might come to know how to live, one sent to dwell among us so that we might know how to pattern our lives and how to enter into a new mode of perception. Bourgeau sees Jesus' questions to Nicodemus as a classic strategy of a wisdom teacher, intended to destabilize, intended to short-circuit that grasping, comparing, formulaic way of thinking, and to open up a whole new mode of perception that's not about what we see, but about how we see and how our mind makes connections. She points out that while Nicodemus is initially confused, asking how can this be when Jesus speaks of being born anew, something takes root, something begins to ferment in him. Later in John's gospel, Nicodemus stands up for Jesus in a dispute with the Pharisees. And then he comes forward to help with the burial of Jesus' body after the crucifixion. Jesus is inviting Nicodemus, and he's inviting us into another dimension. He's inviting Nicodemus out of binary, formulaic, transactional living into another perspective, another realm. This is expressed vividly in Eugene Peterson's translation of this passage in The Message. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. The invisible moving the visible." Nicodemus's encounter with Jesus was transformative. It changed him, and it changed his perspective. It lifted him out of formula into an awareness of the invisible moving the visible. into a different way of seeing and being in the world. It's an invitation to us into this as well. Making room for mystery doesn't mean shrugging things off with an, oh well, it's a mystery. Mystery and the mystical are much more than that. Making room for mystery is a way of being in the world that doesn't discount the feeling Annabelle had in her dream and rush to find the tangible and concrete. It's a way where we make space and time in ourselves and in our encounters for the invisible moving the visible. It's a way that has us willing to pause in mystery, in the intangible, even if that mystery and intangibility looks and feels like darkness. Mystery is a force, and it can be active in our lives if we let it. But there is something we have to keep in mind if we're going to make room for mystery and to allow it to work in our lives. That something is love. While parts of the doctrine of the Trinity are mysterious, we are invited to trust that what God made known in Jesus is love. Love came down to dwell among us, to draw us into loving relationship with God. The gift of the Spirit is a gift of love. Our gospel passage brings us the verse, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." This is mysterious, but that mystery is not to be feared. It is for us to trust, for us to feel with us as a loving force, moving and transforming and changing us and our world with love. Life is full of moments of mystery, dreams, whispers, a sense of something more than we see immediately before us. Remember that the mystery, the more than we see, is infused with love. Soak in the mystery in our liturgy this morning, in our song, in our prayer, in our sacrament, and feel loved in it. Take that love with you into the world. In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Spirit. Amen.